It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
I even look at Twitter. Ken Reed is here.
It's full of positivity.
Well, you know, you talk about important events in the world, and, you know, I get one tweet. Then you mention Blue Jays ticket prices are going up. 500.
Mm-hmm.
490 of them are from people who never go to a game, just want to complain about something.
No one likes to see ticket prices go up.
Well, I don't either.
Myself included.
Yeah.
Especially after, you know, 21 years of no playoffs. But I guess you got to raise them at some point, don't you?
It's part of the deal. I mean, and, you know, and I do understand. So there's a guy with season tickets, and he tweeted, and he, you know, he said the ticket prices have gone up like 550. His price is $550 up. And
that's a lot.
You go, wow, that's a lot. But then when you break it down, it's like it's less than $3.50. Per seat, per ticket, per game.
Now, if you told that guy that the $3.50 he's playing per ticket per game will go to ensure that Melky Cabrera comes back, I'm sure he'd be cool with it.
Well, I mean, that's part of the whole equation here, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have $135 million payroll. Who knows what that payroll is going to be next year? Maybe it's $150 million. Folks, somebody got to pay for that.
Somebody does.
And here's the other thing, and here's the most important thing. If it's too much for you,
don't go.
Just say, no thanks. It's now too much.
That's what I do with the soda pops down there. I can't pay $12 for a beer.
For a beer. Well, don't have a beer.
That's just what I do. I won't have a beer because I have to draw the line somewhere. And a lot of people are probably listening going, really, Kenny, you? You'd pay anything for a beer. Well, at a certain point in my life, yes, but not now. If you want $12 for a beer, it better be about a gallon big. Otherwise, I'm not buying it.
I'm not a beer guy, so that doesn't impact me one way or the other.
So that's where I draw the line. But now, the ticket prices, the tickets, are the 500's going up?
You know, I think they are, yes.
$15 ones?
I don't have the whole list in front of me. Do we have a list of the increases? We're going to bring it in, so.
Right.
I don't have it. I haven't seen it.
I just wonder if it's going to discourage the walk-up crowd or if the increase will discourage the season ticket holding crowd, which
I think they're all going up, but right. I don't know what by what fraction percentage or whatever. Maybe there's something in here. Nope.
I didn't see anything.
Nothing on the ticket prices.
Anyway, no one likes ticket prices going up, but hey, it's business, right? So stinks, but what do you do?
Stay home. If it's, you know, and I mean, it's okay to complain.
Sure.
That's what we do. It's just there's an, you know, as I said in the last hour, I know it's the same people who complain about what the Blue Jays spend, like how come they don't spend more,
mm-hmm.
and then complain about the ticket prices. Well, if you want the team to spend more, then you're going to have to bear at least part of that responsibility, that burden. That's part of being a fan.
But you're right. If you don't want to spend it, don't go. I will not go spend.
Nobody's forcing you to go.
I won't go spend good money on a Leafs ticket. To me, they're overpriced, and the product's not worth it. So I'm not going to spend that money. But a lot of people will, gladly, and that's their prerogative. Now, I'd prefer to spend my money on a Jays ticket, but maybe a lot of people think they're overpriced, too, and that's their prerogative. But that's how this whole, consumer-based society kind of works?
Yeah, and you know, the older you get, the worse it gets because you can remember when.
Right, exactly. I remember when a ticket cost, blah, blah.
Well, and I've told this story probably a million times, so I'm going to tell it one more time. When the Blue Jays came into being in 1977, the top ticket price was $7.50.
Right, top ticket price.
That was the best seat in the house, and I was outraged.
Wow, at $7.50.
Because the box seats, the best seat for the Los Angeles Dodgers in Chavez Ravine at Dodger Stadium in 1977, $4.50.
Wow.
I kid you not.
Wow. $4.50.
Blue Jays were charging $7.50. Wow. Are you serious?
I came across an Expos schedule from, I think it was 87 or 88. I was going through a bunch of my old stuff there a while back, and box seats were $22, something like that. And I thought, wow, $22.
I may be wrong about this, but I seem to recall Super Bowl tickets, first Super Bowl at the L.A. Coliseum, 1967.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 67 was the first Super Bowl. 50-yard line seat, $10. And they didn't fill it. They did not sell the game out.
As a guy who's huge into the business side of sports, back then when you see that Jays ticket and you were ticked off at $7.50 a ticket, did you ever see sports becoming what they have become now?
This massive
business?
Of course not. Average price of a ticket was $12 for Super Bowl I. Sorry.
$12.
I was wrong on both counts.
So you didn't see all this coming?
Well, I did see, and I'm sure I saw a ticket with $10 on. Did I see it coming? No. Who could see this coming?
Then why did it have to happen? Why did it have to get so outrageous?
Labatt paid $7.5 million for the... Let's put everything in context, because there's a lot of 7.5s in this. Labatt paid $7.5 million for the Blue Jays franchise. Franchise today probably worth $600-700 million. So they paid $7.5. Total payroll, Toronto Blue Jays, year one. Want to guess?
Total payroll year
all
one,
players.
25 guys, I would say 1.75 million.
750,000.
What?
750,000, and 100,000 of that went to Bill Singer.
Wow.
Bill Singer was the highest paid Blue Jay. Opening day started, he got $100,000. The whole payroll was 75 grand. And best seat in the house, Exhibition Stadium, 1977, $7.50. Wow. 7.5 million, 750,000. $7.50. I'd like to tell you that a beer costs 75 cents, but that would be a lie.
Well, I saw.
You know why it's a lie?
Why?
Because there was no beer.
That's right. Year one, no beer. That's right. I recall seeing that in a certain fantastic documentary I watched recently.
No beer.
Toronto the Good.
We have no beer for you.
But wasn't the whole deal for Labatt to buy the Blue Jays to, I don't know, get their beer out there?
I think that was part of the plan.
Yeah, but you can't sell it. Okay, so here are your prices. For Blue Jays tickets.
Could you get the print smaller? Could we get smaller print next time?
Would you like me to read it for you, Bob?
It's like an eye test. It's like an E. And I only memorize the E. That's the only way I know it's an E.
So if you buy your season tickets in the 500s, which I was calling the cheap seats, for 2014 you'd pay $635. Next year you'll pay $810. It's still a good deal.
Wait a sec. Go slower.
Increase of 27.6%. But you know what? If you buy them in the 200 levels in the out... You save 2.3%, so they're not up all across the board.
So it depends on where you sit.
Right, but that's the only area where it's down. But the real expensive tickets go up by 5%.
5%, 7.5%, 11%.
Yeah, we're looking at 7 to 11 for the average.
Biggest
average
jump is 500 level.
Yeah. And that's where you get in for, you know, $15 some nights. It's nice to go down with the 20.
Not anymore.
Get some change and go into a big league game. That's one of my favorite things about Toronto. But yeah, not anymore.
You know how much outfield seats used to be?
I'm going to go with $1.75, given the 7.5 things all the rage.
Lower.
Buck and a quarter?
Lower.
50 cents.
Buck.
A buck to go see a Major League Baseball game.
Well, they were $2, but if you went to the grocery store, they give you a coupon and get half price.
Man.
Buck.
Dollar.
Want to send the outfield? Yep. Buck. Give me a buck.
I still think
$1.
I still think it's pretty cool
to
be able to go down to a major league game and get change for a 20 and see it in Toronto. That's pretty cool to me. Now I'm wondering if you still can on a single game basis.
Well, for two tickets?
Mm-mm.
One ticket?
One.
Well, yeah, 500 level is $810 for a season ticket.
So you can get up there.
That's $10 a ticket.
That's pretty reasonable.
$10 a game. What do you want?
No, I'm saying
you can take two people.
Deal.
You can't get change.
I like getting change, but I'd change just for
one. Give them go by yourself without. Should be like all your friends.
Exactly.
So you go by yourself. You give him a 20. He gives you 10 back.
That's good.
Next game you go. You give him another 20. He gives you another 10 back. Now you got your first $20 back. You've seen two games, and you still got your first 20. Very exciting.
But you'd have to go to every game.
If you went to every game, you'd have $405 left over.
There you go.
You gave him 20 every time.
So tickets are up.
You have $405 in your pocket. You go like, boom, it's like making money.
So if I'm in the 500 level,
I wish there were more games. I'd be rich.
You'd be rich. I want Melky Cabrera at a 27.6% increase at the 500 level. But if you're in the action seats and you're paying over $17,000, is there really a difference between $17,010 and $16,200?
No.
No. If you could afford that, whatever.
Those are the good seats, right? Right behind home plate. That's the extra seats they added.
Those are the ones Ivanka and I get to sit in once a year.
You've sat in those? I've never sat in those.
Yeah, they're awesome.
They're right behind home plate, right?
Yeah, they're right behind home plate.
Who's got seats there?
Eugene Levy, Geddy Lee.
Geddy.
Yeah, I've seen Geddy Lee down there.
Geddy's got seats there.
Eugene Levy was beside us one game. But it's kind of weird because you're actually where we sit, well, where we sat twice, not where I sit all the time, but you're actually in front of the dugout. So you're in front of the players. And you want to be really quiet when you yell at them. Like, why'd you swing at that bitch?
Because they can hear you. Because you can actually hear you.
And where we sat, the on-deck circle was directly in front of us. And Adam Lynn, man, I always remember his swing. You can hear it going through the air. This whoosh, 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 really smooth cut.
Wait, but that's when he doesn't make contact.
Well, it's in the on-deck circle. You're not hitting anything.
Oh, in the on-deck circle.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'd look over and I'd see a couple of the players, you know, giving Ivanka the eye. And I'd poke her and I'd say, hey, Ivanka, look.
Can I see?
Then she'd get all shy.
Thank you very much. Oh, Super Bowl won 94,000. So all this does is confirm that I'm right. Thank you for that. Seating capacity at the Coliseum for the first Super Bowl was 94,000.
Mm-hmm.
33,000 seats went unsold.
Wow.
Wasn't even called a Super Bowl.
What did they call it?
The AFC, NFC, no, AFL, no, NFL, AFL championship game. NFL, AFL championship game.
And who came up with Super Bowl? A marketing genius or just some dude?
I forget who it was, but it was some guy who said, you know, we got to come up with a name for this thing. And back then, the biggest football games were the Rose Bowl, mm-hmm. Cotton Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl. So the guy said, okay, we'll come up with it'll be a bowl game. And we'll say, well, Super Bowl.
Imagine if they're way ahead of their time and went with Tostitos.
The Tostitos Bowl?
And all this year, all this time we were calling the Super Bowl the Tostitos Bowl. You know, Joe Namath guarantees he'll win the Tostito Bowl. Doesn't have quite a ring to it.
Anyway.
Could have went with Mega Bowl. Mega's a good word.
So if you go online, where is this from? Sportsnet, Meg? Sportsnet? Is this from Sportsnet website? Oh, Shai Davidi? Oh, he's got a... Yeah. Okay. So if you go to sportsnet.ca, Shai Davidi has a story on the increase in ticket prices, and all the prices are there. So if you're a single game buyer or a season ticket holder, you can find out what the prices are going to be for next year, but they're going up a bit. Yesterday was a tough day for everybody, and almost invariably, these kinds of days impact sports fans in some way, shape, or form. Last night, or yesterday morning, actually, a decision was made to cancel the Toronto Maple Leaf Ottawa Senators hockey game. We had Coley Campbell on last night to talk about the process. You know, they went through all the various scenarios that were possible. And in the end, came up with, I think, the decision they probably thought they were going to come up with right at the beginning. And that was not to play the game. And we've had exceptions to that. Pete Rozelle always regretted the fact that he allowed football to be played after John F. Kennedy was assassinated in 1963 in Dallas. And yet, since that time, comparable events, and I use that word advisedly, but have resulted in games being postponed.
Mm-hmm.
So last night's hockey game postponement was a pretty obvious one. The Ottawa Red Blacks will play tomorrow night hosting the Montreal Alouettes. And the decision has been made to play that game and to move forward. And it's always, I think it's tougher to decide when to start playing again rather than when to not play. Jeff Hunt is the owner of the Ottawa Red Blacks and joins us on the telephone. Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm good, Bob. How are you?
We're good. It was obviously a terrible day in Ottawa yesterday for a whole variety of reasons. And I just said to Kenny, I said, I think it's tougher to make the decision when to come back and when to start again than it is sometimes to say, no, we can't do it tonight. And everything, I mean, even dating back to things like the earthquake in San Francisco for the, you know, during the World Series, like, when do you come back? And they wound up not playing again for about, I think, 10 days. What was the process that you guys went through yesterday and I gather earlier today?
Well, I think I can share that with you, but I think it's important to point out and a part of what went into the Senators' decision yesterday, not that I speak for them by any means, but the Toronto Maple Leafs were in a hotel that was in lockdown
right
at that hour of the day. And, of course, the situation when at the time was that they had to make a decision, the situation was still active and ongoing, at least in the minds of everybody. So I think they had a very easy decision to make. It just wasn't going to work at that hour of the day when they had to make the call. For us, I'll be honest with you, it never, I mean, it occurred to us, of course, that that was an option. But I felt like you know, the events of yesterday make this game even more important that we play it. You know, I mean, we all know, you know, the healing power of a sporting event after a tragedy. And I'm looking at this game and the specific timing of it, this, you know, tomorrow night, as our most important game of the year. I mean, that's kind of a weird thing to say as the owner of a 2-13 team that has no chance to make the playoffs. But I really do believe it is more important than maybe even our home opener was to launch the Red Blacks. And that's a statement about the power of sports and what it does for a community in this situation. And, you know, I think just getting 24,000, you know, fellow Ottawans in one place under one roof to, you know, grieve together and be sad together, but then also begin the road down the road of healing together. And you know what? One of the things sports does is it makes you feel like things are back to normal, and it gives you a distraction from what's happened. And it would be a sad thing for me if the behavior of one lunatic would affect our day-to-day life and something as, you know, as important as a albeit a meaningless Red Blacks game in some ways, but in some ways the most meaningful game of the year.
How normal are things in Ottawa today?
I think it's, you know, it's day-to-day life. If you looked out a window and you weren't here yesterday, you wouldn't notice any, you know, people going to work and doing right. Going about their business as usual. Obviously, it's the dominant topic of conversation, whether it's around the water cooler in an office or on talk radio or what have you. I mean, our innocence has been stolen from us, and that's a line you hear often after a terrorist-type event. I mean, it was sort of surreal for me last night to watch on CNN, coverage of this, you know, kind of terrorist type of activity. And I could see my own condominium that I live in the scenes, because I'm one block from the War Memorial. It's pretty surreal, and it's come to our front door. It's not something that you see on the news happening in faraway places. It's right in our yard. And so that's the toughest thing I think we're coming to grips with. And I think that the less we can have this affect our day-to-day lives, and the more we go forward stronger than ever and you know, doing the things that we love to do as Canadians, like going to a CFL football game, I think the better that the best revenge for us is to stay strong and stay successful and do the things we love.
Jeff, I'll give you an amen to that. You know, I lived in Ottawa for a couple of years. It's a great town. It's a tight town. A lot of people, everybody knows one another. It's one of those towns. And for me, I keep hearing from a lot of people, you know, we woke up today and Canada has changed forever. But I kind of like what you're saying. We can stick it to this loser by just, you know, having a football game, going on with it and showing them, you know, you can't stop us. So is that a huge responsibility for you, or is this just, let's do it. Let's do what we do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, tomorrow night we're going to have enhanced security. We want fans coming in so close to an event like this. You want people coming in feeling safe. people want a response a little bit. They want to see an extra level of security. It's comforting for the first event, a public event, major public event since this. But I really would hate to think that, you know, going to sporting events in Canada now is going to change. I think the extent to which that happens is the extent to which those forces, those terrorist efforts are succeeding in some way. And I hope it can be, you know, eventually like it has always been. We go to a sporting event and the biggest worry we have is if the lineup is too long for the beer or whatever, or yeah, the team loses. I hope we don't have to go to sporting events worrying about something, you know, worse than that. And I don't think we should have to, you know. So I think the more we live our lives in defiance of this type of fear, the better off we all are.
With Jeff Hunt, the owner of the Ottawa Red Blacks, have you made special accommodations security-wise for tomorrow?
Yes, we have enhanced our security presence. And, of course, everybody is going to be much more vigilant after, again, the events of yesterday. Everybody's, I think, not just everybody from, you know, paid security people and paid police duty. And you got to remember that most games, the prime minister's in attendance. So we have that extra level of security anyway, more so than probably any other team in the league on a day-to-day basis, you know. But I think people are getting to be, you know, they're part, I think every fan is part of our security team. And I think people are going to, you know, be a little more observant for something odd or again, it's not just at sporting events. It's at shopping malls or anywhere you'll go. I think people are going to be a little more, you know, they're going to notice something weird and they're more likely to report something strange. And that's I don't think there's anything wrong with that behavior. And I think that we're all part of this effort.
Jeff, when people tune in to watch the Red Blacks play the Alouettes tomorrow, what do you hope the rest of the country gets from your fans at your stadium? And what's the message that you would love to have your fans send to the rest of the country when they tune in tomorrow night?
Well, I think more than anything that we're going to be fine, that life is back to normal, that this event isn't going to change who we are, what we do, what's important to us. I think that, I think you're going to see a very emotional opening to the game. We come together as, you know, citizens of Ottawa, but as, you know, citizens of Canada. And I think, you know, we've seen it in other, after other tragedies where you'll see the national anthem probably mean more tomorrow than it has for a long time, or ever for some people maybe. Because this was an attack against, you know, Canada and its armed forces. It happened to take place in Ottawa. And I think it strengthens people's patriotism. So I think you're going to see a great showing of a tribute, first of all, to the young man, Nathan, mm-hmm. that lost his life, you know, just guarding a monument. I think it's going to be an emotional night.
A final point. As a resident of the city, and Ken alluded to the fact that you live there for a couple of
years.
2 years,
yeah. 2 years in Ottawa, yeah.
I've been to Ottawa on many occasions, including vacationing in Ottawa. So I've gone there not only when I've had to go, but when I wanted to go. And I told the story yesterday of going to the Parliament buildings and standing in the line to take the tour. And, you know, recalling yesterday, you know, the spot where I had stood and walked around and the absence of, I hate to say security, but there was nothing ominous about it. It was open and free, and you're right there. There's a danger now that may change, at least for a period of time. As an Ottawa resident, how do you feel about that?
I feel sick about it. I would hate to think that is going to be an outcome. You know, as was said earlier, it's. I think that the extent to which these kinds of activities, you know, have long-term disruptions to, you know, that ability. I mean, that's Canada to come, just walk right in the front door of Parliament and go look around. I mean, that's an endearing element to our society, and to think that would be gone because of one crazed incident, you know, it would be it'd be a shame. I mean, on the other hand, I'm sure they're going to have to think about, making some changes just because, the other thing that almost happened yesterday, if this guy hadn't have been taken down by the brave people that confronted him, is he could have done some damage. I mean, the prime minister was in the building. Not to put anybody's importance over anybody else, but, that's our entire government was there, it was a close call, and I'm sure that some changes will be made, and I hope they're not too onerous and that we keep the substance of that Canadian feeling at Parliament.
Jeff, we thank you very much for joining us. Wish you the best of luck, and I'm sure it is going to be emotional tomorrow night at the football game, I speak on behalf of Kenny. We think you're doing the right thing by playing tomorrow
Amen.
Night, and we
yeah.
wish you good luck with the game.
Appreciate it. I hope so.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk again. I know.
Okay, guys.
The owner of the Ottawa Red Blacks, Jeff Hunt. There was nothing more remarkable, a final note on this, there was nothing more remarkable about yesterday's story than the fact that only one person lost their life.
Incredible. I mean, I heard you use the word miracle, and I believe that.
It was a miracle.
So, yeah, big shout-outs to everybody that does what a lot of us won't do and who stand up for everybody else in this country that did the job and did it well.
Our own Chris Johnson was supposed to be in Buffalo last night because Connor McDavid was going to play. They had 11,000 people, I guess, at the arena there. And then as he was on his way, I guess he found out that the Pittsburgh Penguins, who were hosting the Philadelphia Flyers last night, planned to recognize the events of Ottawa by playing the Canadian anthem, which they would not do unless there was a visiting Canadian team under normal circumstances. And so Chris decided to just keep driving and went to Pittsburgh. He'll join us next to tell us what he saw, what he experienced when Primetime Sports continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Now, Primetime is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Before the hour, Bob McCown with Ken Reed in our Toronto studios for this Thursday, the 22nd of October. It's primetime on the Sportsnet radio and television networks. Don Banks of Sports Illustrated and Glenn Healy will join us a little bit later on the program, in the next hour to be specific. So our own Chris Johnson was on tour last night, heading for Buffalo. Going to watch Connor McDavid play. Erie and Niagara, I guess, scheduled a game in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
They got 11,000 people to go to it. Pretty good.
Not bad.
And the events in Ottawa take place. Chris hears that the Penguins, who are playing that night against the Flyers, have decided to play O Canada prior to the game. An event usually reserved for when the visiting team is a Canadian-based franchise. And Chris says, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to Pittsburgh. Chris Johnson joins us on the line. Is this your call entirely? Did you call back to, some desk somewhere in this building? Or what was the process here, Chris?
It was entirely my call, as it turned out. I'd reached the arena in Buffalo and picked up my credential and was starting to just think about the column I was going to write that night. And when I found out that was going to happen, I was already, I felt sick, I think, like a lot of Canadians yesterday. I didn't really feel particularly that enthused. All of a sudden, the idea from 2 days hence about writing about Connor McDavid seemed like a good idea, until what happened yesterday. But then the idea of writing on a regular hockey story wasn't sitting well as it was. And as soon as I found out that the Penguins were going to do that, I tried reaching one of the gentlemen who are above me on the food chain. I wasn't able to, and I just went because, you know, having made that drive a lot, I knew I didn't have much time to get there. And so I just went and kind of on spec, I guess.
How did you find out that the Penguins were planning to do this?
There was an internal email went around, I think because Sportsnet had added that game as a national game after the Leafs and Sens had been postponed.
Right.
And, you know, it was just from an internal email, and I just thought, man, I've been to a lot of sporting events, but I've never heard of something like that happening. And, you know, it just seemed to me there's nothing worse as a journalist, I find, than knowing you're in the wrong place and than not being where the story was. And I just didn't like the idea that something better was happening down the road that I could make it to.
Chris, when I read the story this morning, I'll be honest, it gave me, you know, one of those warm, fuzzy feelings. It made me feel a little better. And when I watched the anthem last night in Pittsburgh, it made me feel a little better. And in your writing, you know, you're pretty honest. You work yourself into it. You're right. You know, I was intending to watch Connor McDavid play. What was it like for you as a writer to work yourself into this story and kind of let that go and immerse your own feelings into this story?
These ones are always tricky to write, Ken, because, you know, I still realize that any sporting angle you can call on a day like this is certainly not the most important story. And, you know, in this case, quite honestly, after the game, I had a really good chat with Sidney Crosby, and, you know, he told me some good anecdotes, and he was clearly, you know, feeling emotions about it as well. And part of me was thinking, you know, you could easily justify making Crosby the story. But to me, ultimately, as I kind of went through the decision making that you could do as you write a piece that, you know, the fact that we're standing here in American City with two American teams only hours after an event in Ottawa. And I do think that we don't always give Americans enough credit at times. I mean, there are neighbors, but we sometimes feel that they aren't as aware maybe of us as they are of them. And I know there's some truth to that, but, you know, I thought that this was a really notable event, and to be there and hear so many people singing. I mean, it was quite something. And so ultimately, I guess that it was just about finding, sort of weighing all those facts that, you know, this isn't by far the most important story of the day. That there's a couple different ways you could go. And then ultimately I felt that I should just include why I was there, because, you know, as a reader, I would have wondered, how did this writer randomly end up in Pittsburgh on this day?
Mm-hmm. I must tell you this, Chris, I was less surprised that the Penguins when I heard that the Penguins decided to play O Canada than I was to find out that virtually everybody in the arena sang along. As somebody who was there, I mean, I would think it was a somewhat emotional experience, was it?
It was crazy. You know, honestly, the best link I can draw, and it's admittedly a failing one, is that it did feel almost like a playoff atmosphere. Like, it was so charged up and so loud and so it just felt special. It was different. You know, I go to tons and tons of games. It was different than your normal week two or three of the regular season type of game. And I know some of that is due to Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, obviously having a great rivalry. You know, the Penguins sell out. So but, you know, that building, quite honestly, is normally a bit of a dead zone at this point in the season, you know, the times I've been there. And it was different last night. And, you know, I think that you saw it when they had a chance to sing O Canada, you know. And, you know, as I mentioned towards the end of the story there, you know, one of my media colleagues that I know well from the U.S. came up to me after and said that was the first time he'd ever sang the Canadian anthem out loud. And you know, I would guess for most people in the building that was the case, because, you know, it's not something, as a Canadian, I don't often sing the Star Spangled Banner out loud at any point. I understand. So to me, it was a very meaningful thing. You know, what's funny, I just looked back, I recorded it on my cell phone while I was there. It lasted 1:09. So it was a pretty small gesture in terms of what it took to do and what it actually was. But I think it resonated far beyond, you know, what it was with Canadians, based on what I can see. You know, it's something I think we really appreciate. And we even heard Stephen Harper thank the Penguins today when he was, you know, back in Parliament.
For us, I mean, who obviously didn't go to a big event or anything like that, yesterday was kind of a crap day, but you got to see the crap and then you got to see the good. What's it like to see the range of emotions from people where you see just an absolute loser, lunatic, do what he did, and then you just see people just give a simple gesture in Pittsburgh by, like you said, singing for 1:09?
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, obviously, I hope I don't have many more days like that. Yeah. I'm sure anyone listening is the same. But, you know, I happen to be at home doing my normal morning routine. And literally, I think I had the CBC on within 10 minutes of that shooting, just because I'd seen it pop up on Twitter and kind of followed the first 3 or 4 hours pretty closely before going down there. You know, and you feel all the same things everyone did. And, you know, my sister works 2 blocks from there, and she was in lockdown the whole day, so I was texting with her. And, you know, you always wonder why and try to make sense of things. You want to know what's happening, you know, lots of questions about the Leafs and Sens. And then for me, it was a chance. I mean, because it's, you know, about a 5.5 hour drive, probably all in from Toronto to Pittsburgh. It was a chance to clear my mind a little bit on the drive. And it felt different, you know, being, you know, I think in the States and back at a sporting event. Although I must say, I watched that game totally different than I normally would. I didn't make any notes about the lines or try to figure out the matchups or, you know, the normal sort of things I look for when I'm covering a hockey game. It was more just about feeling what it was. And honestly, as I mentioned earlier, talking to Sidney Crosby afterwards, really, it kind of wrapped everything up for me because, you know, you could see he was going through the same things as anyone else. I mean, mm-hmm. naturally, even if he's a famous person and someone that with a lot of profile, you know, he's also one of 35 million Canadians who was watching that on TV, and he even had a good friend who just started working security at the Parliament buildings by chance. So, you know, he was worried earlier in the day about, you know, finding out how things had worked out for his buddy. And you know, just, you know, kind of reinforced, I think, sometimes sports, for those of us that are into this sort of thing, it does give us a little bit of a mirror to look back at ourselves and see, you know, process our thoughts and our emotions. And really, I think, and, you know, I think we all kind of stood together yesterday, and that included the Americans as well as Canadians, as we saw at that anthem.
With Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, who went to Pittsburgh last night, where the Penguins, out of respect for what happened in our nation's capital yesterday, played O Canada prior to the game. It's a gesture that I don't know if it's unprecedented, but I don't remember it happening absent a Canadian team making an appearance in an NHL arena in the United States. So after the game, you go downstairs to the Penguins room. Was the Ottawa situation and the anthem the topic of conversation? Or was this, because I'm just reading the quotes that you got from Sidney himself. Was the hockey game still, as you might expect, a paramount in the room?
Yeah, from what I could tell, I was on a solo mission there. I mean, you know, I was the only Canadian reporter, and, you know, I stood back when Crosby had his scrum, and, you know, the questions were about the power play and the neutral zone and all the things to do with the game that you would expect. And then, you know, I spoke with him alone afterwards. You know, I didn't get the sense. I know on the Philadelphia side, Claude Giroux, you know, Ottawa is basically his adopted hometown. He lives there in the summer. And the Flyers beat writers did speak with him, you know, being the captain of their team, being sort of from there, a little bit about it. But it wasn't, I didn't get a sense in the U.S. in terms of the media coverage that this was an angle that was that hotly pursued. I think, you know, it was very much kind of a sidebar type of deal for them. And, you know, I was pushing it a little harder, I guess.
Did you spend as much time answering questions from, say, Sidney or the Pittsburgh players as you spent asking them? Or were they curious on your take, given that you were in Canada for part of the day?
They were, but probably even more just because, you know, with the pregame routine, they hadn't heard the latest.
Right.
And, you know, Sidney had mentioned that he heard it was 3 shooters and then it was 2 kind of when he had to shut it off to go through his last preparations for the game, you know, and by then it had sort of become clear that there was 1 shooter. So, you know, some of it was just kind of because, you know, they played a hockey game and weren't sitting in a press box with the internet to know what would happen. So, there, you know, it was sort of an information sharing type of thing as well. And, you know, I heard you make the point, Bob, earlier in your show today that, you know, one thing that Crosby said, and I think a lot of Canadians felt, is that he's been there a lot of times, and what he always thought was great about that area is that it didn't feel locked down. He said he always looked at it as an inviting place with lots of tour buses and people, and he thought that was unique to Canada in terms of, you know, being in those sort of places, and he really liked that. And you know, I think like a lot of Canadians today, as we try to process what, you know, might come from this, he wondered and worried that maybe things would change as a result of what happened.
Well, I think inevitably it will. It's changed today. It changed yesterday. It will change in some way, shape, or form. It's a tough question to answer, though, to whether it should, you know, how far should we go? Clearly, there's, you can't allow this kind of thing to take place. So there has to be some additional measure taken. But is that, how do you control what happens in essentially an open space,
this is,
public space?
Well, this is what makes it so special. It makes it so special. I remember when I moved to Ottawa, I thought I'll go check out Parliament. And I did. I didn't have to make an appointment. I literally just walked right up.
Just walked right in?
This is amazing.
You can't do that at the White House.
Nope. You can't. Nope.
You know, and it's extraordinary. And it kind of, the first time you go, it is shocking.
It is.
That you can actually walk right up to it.
Yeah.
And I hope that doesn't change. I mean, clearly there were two issues here. How do we protect those, like the corporal who lost his life? Well, we have to do something to make sure that they mm-hmm. can be as safe as we can possibly make them. Mm-hmm. And then we have to make sure that some nutcase can't just run into the Parliament buildings with a gun.
Yep.
Right.
But between those two places, that's where you... Yeah.
What do we give up to get that kind of thing?
I hope it's just those two. I hope we just identify those two situations. Those are the key things that happened. The public space, the open space, that massive space in front of the Parliament buildings, I think symbolically needs to be a space where we can just walk around and take... I mean, you've never... I don't know how many times you got... Anytime you've been there, there's hundreds of tourists there, almost all of them taking pictures of themselves right in front of the Parliament buildings.
Yeah.
I mean, in that courtyard space in front of... I mean, that's what it's supposed to be about, isn't it?
Yeah. Chris?
Right. And I was thinking, too, you know, to go back to our corner of the world, the fun and games section, a little bit, that if anything's going to be felt, I think we'll probably see more security at big sporting events.
I think we started already, last night.
Yeah, I know it's already trended in that direction, you know, since 9/11 and various things, but I think you're going to see even more now, you know, just naturally with that many people gathering in mm-hmm. big, open, obvious spaces.
Chris, I'm sure it was a memorable experience for you. Good choice yesterday. I'm sure you've been told that already.
Yeah, good call, CJ.
Thank you. I honestly haven't processed it all yet either. I mean, I've just come back to Toronto and only arrived within the last hour. And, you know, one thing I noted on the way back is there was a lot more Canadian flags at half-mast, you know, after I came across the border and drove along the QEW and by Hamilton, you know, where the corporal was from and back here to the city. So I'm still trying to figure it all out in my brain, too.
I think we all are. Thanks, pal.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Chris Johnson of the NHL on Sportsnet. He was supposed to go to Buffalo last night. He was going to watch Connor McDavid play. Write a piece on this young phenom who was ultimately going to play a hockey game in front of some 11,000, which is a big crowd for junior hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Erie against Niagara. And got to the arena, said, you know what? I hear they're going to play O Canada in Pittsburgh tonight before the game as a tribute to what happened in the nation's capital. That's where I'm going to go. And not only a right call, but... uniquely, I wouldn't say the only Canadian, but one of a handful of Canadians that got to experience a truly chilling moment.
The right call.
To hear 18,000 people, Americans, singing O Canada.
Right call.
Happen every day.
Great journalism, and you know what? Goes without saying, hope he never has to do it again.
The Thursday Nighter in the National Football League is almost... inevitably a dog with fleas, but tonight, no dog, no fleas.
We're coming out of a sweet game tonight, finally.
Broncos and Chargers, pretty good one, I would say. Don Banks of Sports Illustrated will join us to talk about that. And Glenn Healy on various and sundry subjects pertaining to the National Hockey League. All when Primetime Sports continues in a couple of minutes.